Okay, Parshas Vayigash. Okay. There are many Vayitoyim and Vayigash that are very important lessons that we said over in the past, but we'll say them over again. The Parshas starts off, Vayigash Eil Yehuda, Vayomer, Bi Adoni, Yehuda says to Yosef, Yedabrna Avdecha Avdechadova, Bosni Adoni, let me speak in your ears. Vayicha apcha ba'avdecha, kicha moicha kefarai, you're just like Parai. When Rashi goes through the pasuk and tells us what Yehuda meant when he said kicha moicha kefarai, you're just like Parai. There's a famous word from the Gra, which everybody knows, but Vayigash Eilav Yehuda, Vayomer Bi Adoni. The trop on those words, Vayigash Eilav is a kadma va'azlo, on Yehuda Revi, Vayomer is a zarka, and Bi Adoni is a segol. Says the Gra, kadma va'azlo Revi. Yehuda is the fourth brother. Revi, the fourth brother, Yehuda, Vayigash Eilav, kadma va'azlo. He was the one who went forth first. He was the one who took the lead, and he's the one who went in front of all the other brothers to speak to Yosef. Vayomer Bi Adoni. There's a Zarka and a Segel. Why did Yehuda go ahead of all the other brothers? Because Yehuda had more to lose than everybody else. Because Yehuda had made a Tanai with Yaakov. If he doesn't bring back Binyamin, what happens? That'll be in Cheirim. He loses Eilam Hazeh, Eilam Haba. So Zarka, he'll be thrown away. As much as Zayrek. Yehuda, the fourth brother, went ahead before everybody else because Zarka, he stood to lose the most. Zayrek can be thrown away. Bi Adoni is a segol from the Am Segula, from Klal Yisrael, from the Am Segula, he will be thrown out, he put into Cheirim, excommunicated from the Kahal. So therefore Yehuda was the one that went ahead and spoke to Yosef more than any of the other brothers. The Al Shech HaKadosh has his famous word, and the Al Shech asks, suddenly Yehuda's attitude changes. At the end of last week's parasha Mikates, Yehuda is very accepting. And Yehuda says, "Manoimar Adoni, what should we say? Manadaber or Manatzadok? What should we say? How can we justify ourselves? Hashem found a place to punish us. We're avodim l'Adoni." Yehuda is ready to give in at the end of last week's parasha. Suddenly, this week's parasha, two pesukim later, "Va'yigash Eilav Yehuda, va'yomer," and he starts speaking harshly to Yosef. Rashi tells us, "Daber" is a lashon of speaking harshly. Va'yicha apcha, don't be angry, mikan, that Yehuda spoke harshly to Yosef. Suddenly Yehuda gets all excited. What happened between the end of Miketz and the beginning of Yigash that Yehuda changes his whole attitude? Says the Al Shech HaKadosh, because there's one pasuk in the middle. The last pasuk in Miketz. The last pasuk in Miketz is what does Yosef answer back? Yosef answers back and he says, Chalila li miyasai zois. Chalila that I should take all of you for avodim. Ho'ish asher nimsa gavia biyadoi. Only the man at the cup, my silver cup was found in his rishos, he should be for me an eved, and all of you can go back to your father, l'shomim. So the Al Shech HaKadosh, when Yehuda heard that, he realized that his whole cheshmi that he had until now was wrong. Yehuda, before he heard that from Yosef, he said, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, the end of Miketz, Halakim motza savayin avadecha. Hashem found a mokom to punish us for our aveira. Yehuda thought this whole story that's taking place right now was a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. It was a punishment. And now they will be taken as avodim. They sold Yosef for an eved. Midah k'neged midah. They will be taken away as avodim. So therefore Yehuda said, what can I do? Hashem found a place to punish us for our aveiros. Then Yosef says, no, chalili mi'asoizos. Chas v'sholom. I'm not going to take you for avodim. Only the one who had the gevirah. Who had the gevirah? Binyamin. So Yosef says, I'm only taking Binyamin for an eved. Said Yehuda, if that's the case, this can't be a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. Because Binyamin wasn't there by Mechiras Yosef. Binyamin wasn't there. Binyamin was the guy that was home. Since Binyamin wasn't there yet by Mechiras Yosef. Since Binyamin wasn't there by Mechiras Yosef, said Yehuda, my whole cheshbon is incorrect. It can't be a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. If it's not a punishment, Yehuda says, now I have a right to argue with him and a right to fight, and he comes and he speaks harshly to Yosef. Let me speak, let Yosef speak words in the ears of my master. So Rashi says it's a strange washing. In the ears of my master, let me speak to you. What's Ba'ozne Adoini? So the first Rashi in the parasha says, Yichnesu Devorov Ba'oznov. That my words should enter into his ears. My words should enter your ears. So the Brisker Rav says that Yehuda said to Yosef, I want to speak to you directly without a liturgum, without a translator, without an interpreter in between. I want to speak to you one-on-one. I want to speak to you, but Osnei Adoni, my word should go into your ears. Without an interpreter, without anybody in between us, I want to speak to you one-on-one.
What
it says, oh, Charei Lashon Kodesh. It says the Brisker Rav, what's pshat? Yehuda, the Varim HaYotzim Min Alev, Nechnasim Alev. Yehuda wanted Yosef to hear the words directly from him. The plea, the emotions that Yehuda had, because when a person speaks from the heart, words that are spoken from the heart, on Nechnos Malev, enter a person's heart. So Yehuda didn't want Yosef to hear it from an interpreter who would just say it over as a matter of fact, but he wanted to hear, Yosef should hear, the plea, the emotions that Yehuda had. He told the Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim once had to go speak to the government officials about a gezeirah they had against the yeshivas. He's about closing the yeshiva, so teaching secular subjects. And Chafetz Chaim traveled to the capital, to Warsaw, to go speak to the, to the government. When he came before the governor, he brought with him an interpreter who understood Yiddish and understood Polish. So Chafetz Chaim spoke only Yiddish. And he starts speaking in Yiddish and the interpreter is translating it into Polish for the governor to understand. Suddenly the governor says to the interpreter, stop. I don't need the interpretation. Let him continue without the interpretation. Chafetz Chaim continues speaking Yiddish, crying. My father, the governor says, I hear you, and I will do what I can to cancel the decree against your yeshivas. So he asked the governor, what happened? How come you told the interpreter to stop? Since when do you know Yiddish? You don't understand Yiddish. The governor said, because the Chafetz Chaim wasn't speaking Yiddish, he was speaking from the heart. I heard words coming from the heart. I heard his crying, his emotions, his pleading. I understood what he wanted. I didn't have to have a translation of the words. When I saw his emotions and the way they spoke and how strongly he feels about this decree, I understood what he wanted, and I'll do my best to cancel the decree. Devarim hayotzim min halev, nechnasim min halev. Words that come from the heart enter the heart, even though it might not be a language a person understands. It's a language of the heart. So Yehuda said to Yosef, Yedabina abdecha dova ba'ozni adoni. Let my words enter your ears. Devarim hayotzim min halev, nechnasim min halev. A little bit later in the parasha, after Sheni, Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. And a famous pasuk in Perik Memhei, pasuk Gimel, Vayoyme, Yosef Alechov, Ani Yosef, Ha'oid Ovichai. Yosef says to his brothers those famous five words, Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef, Ha'oid Ovichai, my father's still alive. Five words. And the pasuk continues, V'ayachu, Memhei, pasuk Gimel. V'ayachu, Echov, Ranoi, Soisoi, his brothers couldn't answer him, they were embarrassed, they were ashamed for him. Five words? What was so powerful about those five words that Yosef said? Everyone knows the Medrash brings down, Abba Kayim Bardova Imer, says Abba Kayim Bardova, Oy Lonum Yoim Hadin, Oy Lonum Yoim Etachacha. Oy to us from the day of judgment, from the day of Techacha. Yosef's brothers said to him, Ani Yosef Hadavichai, and they didn't have what to answer back. What will be with us when we come after 120 years to Bezim Shomayla? We're not going to have what to answer back either. Oylon or Oy to us, Miyam Adin, Miyam Atachach. The Beis HaLevi explains, what was the Oylon or Miyam Adin? What was so powerful about these words, Ani Yosef Hadavichai? Yosef took the whole Tain of Yehuda, what has been darshening from the beginning of the parasha until now, 20 psukim or so, Yosef takes it with five words, takes Yehuda's whole taina, and turns it upside down. What was Yehuda taini? Yehuda's taini, please, let Binyamin go back home. His havrachmanis on his old father, havrachmanis. Havrachmanis, v'nafshay, kishurei, v'nafshay. Yaakov's life depends upon Binyamin. How could you keep Binyamin? Let him go. V'hoya kiraisai, kein anav ameis. If he sees we don't come back with the Nar of Binyamin, Yaakov could die, and you're going to cause his death, and so on and so on. And Yehuda is explaining the situation to Yosef. Says Yosef, Ani Yosef, and what about me? Years ago, when you sold me for an Eved, did you care about the effect it would have on Yaakov? Did you care about what would happen to my father? Ha'oid Ovichai, my father's still alive? Did you care about what would happen then? When you sold me? Is my father still alive? Now suddenly you're so concerned about your father. And that's why I should up in Yom and go. Your whole taina is mufrach, is shrugged up, is proven wrong. May obey from within itself. You're worried about Yaakov. I mean, you sold me. You weren't worried about Yaakov. How come then you weren't worried and now you are? Your whole time is proven wrong. So he said, Levi, that's what the Medrash means. When it comes to Yom HaDin, we're going to have Terutzim. You know why we did this Aveira? Had an Nisoyin, had a Yetzirah, had this excuse, had that excuse. And what's going to happen? The Mesholos and the Bezdin Shomai, oh, Atainis, are not true. You were too tired. You were too tired to learn. But for this Aveira, you weren't too tired. For that, you were able to stay up. You could get up early in the morning to go daven, but for this, you were able to get up early in the morning. They're going to show us all our excuses, all our Atainis, are Mufrach, are shrugged up, are proven wrong from within themselves. Just like the brothers proved Yosef proved the brothers wrong. And ni Yosef ha'odav ichai, so too all of our excuses and our rationalizations that we have will be proven wrong. Oy lonu miyam hadin, oy lonu miyam hatachachom. The Bled Chasman, Zatzal, said over that you have two people who went to an exposition, and they see new machines, and they're looking at the machines and all the new inventions that were invented, and they're taking it all in. And suddenly, there are two people stopped by one machine, and they stand there staring at the machine. And hour after hour after hour, they're standing, staring at the same machine. And everybody else is moving around and looking at all the exhibits and all the new inventions, and they're standing by this one machine hours and hours and hours. And finally, somebody asks them, why are you standing here for? Don't you want to see the whole expo? There's so many exhibits to see, so many new inventions. One machine can't be that exciting. And they said, no, you don't understand. We have a factory with such a machine. We have an older version. And we want to understand how to upgrade the machine. We should have a newer version. So we're sitting here analyzing the machine, how this part works, how that part works, how it all interconnects, so we can go back to our factory and improve our production by upgrading our machine. Everybody else here is just here to see the sights, they're here to see the exhibits, they're here to see one machine, another exhibit, but it's not for their livelihood. They don't need it for their business, but this is Nageya, this is for us, for our livelihood, and that's why we're sitting here analyzing every aspect of the machine. Because Reb Chasman, when events happen in the world, events happen to a person, there are two ways to look at it. You have those people who say, it's just an event, it just happened, just in passing. We're here to see the exhibits in this world. This is one exhibit, another exhibit, it just happened. And then you have the tzaddikim who understand that when an event happens, there's a reason why it happens. And you have to sit and think, why did it happen? Analyze it. It's negeya, your well-being in this world. It's negeya, your well-being in the next world. Analyze it. Why did it happen? Why did this part happen this way? Why did it happen this way? How does it all interconnect? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? A person has to sit and analyze why events happened. They say over to Belio Lapian, once was walking on the steps, and he tripped, he fell on the steps. And he sat, he landed on the steps, and he didn't get up. He stood there, he stayed on the steps, sitting down on the steps. And everybody came running over, are you okay? Are you okay? Can we help you up? And he said, no. And they said, can you get up? I'm fine, I can get up. And he sat there, he didn't want to get up. He remained sitting on the steps. So finally they asked him, why are you staying here on the steps for? If you could get up, why don't you stand up? He said, because I have to make a cheshbon nefesh why I fell. What aveira did I do? Why did I fall? When something happens to a tzaddik, it's not just an exhibit passing by in this world, but why did it happen? Is there a tefiyah on me? Is there a reason why it happened? When a person makes a cheshbon nefesh why it happened, it's not suddenly just passing through, but a person understands that everything comes with a din v'cheshbon. V'ata al te'otzu. The pasuk says, right before Shlishi, Perik Mem Hei, Pasuk Hei, Yosef speaks to the brothers and he tells them, V'ata al te'otzu, don't be sad, V'ayicha b'einechem, don't be angry, Ki mechartem oisi heino, that you sold me in Mitzrayim, Ki l'michya shlachani l'kim lefnechem. Hashem sent me to be l'michya, Rashi says to be for you, for michya, for support, for parnasa, for food, only because Yosef ends up in Mitzrayim, but did they have food during the years of hunger, and so on. They had where to go, to settle in Mitzrayim. So Yosef says, it all turned out l'taiva. It was all arranged by Hashem. And even though your kavanos were not for good, but Hashem sent me here, l'michya. Dubnu Magid's famous marshal, and we said over, Dubnu Magid's a famous marshal, who was once a tsar, who bought a precious stone, a precious gem. And he's examining the gem, and everything is perfect, but there's one flaw, there's one scratch on this gem. And he's so bothered by that one scratch, it makes this perfect gem not so perfect anymore. And he brings it to one jeweler after another, is there any way to remove that scratch? and take it out of the stone. And they all examine the gem, and they all say to him, there's nothing, there's no way we can take this out. This flaw is there, and it's going to remain in the gem. And of course, it's not worth as much now because of the flaw in the gem. And he's terribly bothered by it. And he doesn't give up. He keeps on one jeweler after another. Finally, he comes to one jeweler, and he says to him, what can I do about the flaw in the stone? The jeweler says to him, I can't take the flaw out, but I have an eitz, I have a plan for you. Go ahead and make a design in the stone. Make a design, make a nice picture, engrave your initials, make a picture, engrave the stone. And when you start engraving the stone, start from the exact spot where the scratch is. If you start from that exact spot to engrave the stone, etch out in the stone, it will become part of the design, and it won't be noticeable that it was a scratch, and this way the stone will look perfect. And that's what he did. So the Dudu Magid, Yosef told the brothers, what you thought was bad, that scratch, that flaw that you did, Kodesh Baruch Hu took that scratch, and from that scratch built a whole beautiful design. Built a whole design, and because of that scratch, because of that event selling me down to Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim was saved, you were saved, you had fooled, everything turned out with Taiva. Sometimes what we think is a flaw, is a scratch, is wrong, is what turns out to be right. We don't always see things correctly. The flaw is what turned out to be Kiyum Michya, Shu'achan Al-Kim Ufneichem. That which you thought was bad turned out to be good. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says, Kiyum Michya, Shu'achan Al-Kim Ufneichem. It doesn't mean only in the Gashmias sense, but it means in the Ruchnias sense also. Yosef said, Hashem sent me L'michya to supply food, to give you Parnassah. Not only in the Gashmias sense, but Yosef paved the way for Ruchnias and Mitzrayim also. Mitzrayim, Rashi tells us, shtufei zima hayu. They were sunk in Zinus. Zinus was prevalent in Mitzrayim. And yet we know, throughout the years, either in Mitzrayim, there was no Zinus. Shlomis bas Divri, Mate Don, was the only one. Besides for her, Bnei Yisrael were Kaddish v'tohar, the Yichus was pure, to the extent that later on, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Eidus, about the Shvatim, Hashem puts his name around the Shvatim. Each mishpacha, hamachli, a hay in the front, a yud at the end, spells out Hashem's name, ka, and Hashem says, Eidos, and all the mishpachas of Yisrael, they were all Kaddish v'tohar. How could it be, they were 210 years, in a mokoyim that was filled with znus and arayis, and they remained Kaddish v'tohar? The teretz is, ki v'michya, shvachani, v'chim v'fnechem, says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh. Hashem sent Yosef to pave the way. Yosef had the ultimate test with Eishes Potiphar. Yosef had a test with Potiphar's wife. And what does Yosef do? Yosef runs out. He overcomes the Nisayon for Zinus with Eishes Potiphar. By Yosef overcoming that Nisayon, he paved the way for us to overcome our Nisayonis. And therefore, in all the future generations that the Yidden with Mitzrayim, they were able to overcome any Taiva, any Averis of Zinus, because Yosef paved the way. Hashem sent you L'michya for Chaim, Sayin Ruchnias, Sayin Gashmias. Yosef paved the way for the future Dairis to overcome their Nisyonis. The end of the parasha, said this over every year. Yaakov finally meets Paroi. Right before Shvi, Yaakov and Paroi meet. And the pasuk tells us the whole event that happened. Starting with Perek Mem Zayin, pasuk Ches. Vayoyme Paroi, Yaakov, Paroi says to Yaakov, Kamo Yimei Shnei Chayecha, how old are you? Vayoyme Yaakov Paroi, pasuk Tes, Yaakov answers back to Paroi, Yimei Shnei Megurai Shiloish Mumas Shana. My years are 130. Ma'at V'royim. Hoyu Yimei Shnecha. My years, it's few. It's bitter. I had difficult years. V'lo Yisigu Es Yimei Shnecha Yavaisai Mei Megurim. I didn't reach the age of my fathers. And everybody's bothered. What's Pshat? Yosef brings in his father. What's the first words Paroi says to him? Old man, how old are you? What happened? Paroi jumps on him right away. How old are you? Shalom Aleichem. How old are you? And what does Yaakov answer? Ma'at v'royim. My years are few. My years were bitter. Paroi didn't ask him for a life history. Paroi asked him, how old are you? Yaakov should have answered, 130 years old. He gives Paroi a life history. Ma'at v'royim. I'm not as old as my father was. I'm 130. Who asked for a whole autobiography? Why is Yaakov answering Paroi in such a way? So everyone knows the story. The Shagas Aryeh was, when he was 70 years old, he had to leave where he was Rav. He had a lot of tzaris, a lot of Radifis. People had tainus on him, unjustly. And the city of Metz was looking for a Rav. And the Shagas Aryeh, at the age of 70, applied for the job of
being the Rav in the city of Metz. And applying for a rabbi, he had to give a parab on Shabbos, come and speak. And he came Shabbos Pashas Vayigash. And he heard the crowd speaking under their breath, saying quietly, oh, he's an old man. Who wants an old man for a rabbi? We need young blood, a young rabbi. He's 70 years old already. He's too old to be the rabbi. And the Shagas hanged up to speak. And he quoted these Pesukim and Pashas Vayigash. And he asked these questions and he said, what's the pshat? Paray sees Yaakov. Right away, Paray blurts out, how old are you? And Yaakov answers, Madveroyim, I'm not as old as my father. What was the whole conversation between Paray and Yaakov? So he says to Shagas Aryeh, I'll tell you what happened to him. As soon as Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, Rashi tells us that a brocha came down, the Nilus overflowed, there was water, and the ground became fertile again, the hunger ended, and the crops started to grow. Paray hears about this wonderful miracle man, Yaakov, comes down to Mitzrayim, and suddenly the hunger starts to ease, become better, and the ground starts to become fertile and starts to grow. Paray says, I have to meet this Yaakov. I have to see who he is. This man who brought a bracha down to Mitzrayim. So Yosef brings Yaakov down. Paray takes one look at Yaakov, and he panics. He's an old man. How much longer is he going to live? As long as he lives, there'll be a bracha in Mitzrayim. But he's not going to live much longer. Look at him. He looks terrible. He's an old man. He's not going to live much longer. How old are you? Tell me, how long are you going to live? How old are you? So Paray, Yaakov understood Paray's question. So he says to Paray, don't worry about it. Not Veroim. I'm not that old. I'm a young 130. You know why I look so old? Veroim. I had a hard life. I had tzaris. There was tzaris with Esav and Lavan and Dina and Yosef. I had plenty of tzaris. That's why I look old. I didn't reach the age of my father. My father, Yitzchak, lived to 180. I have plenty of time left. Don't worry about it. I have plenty of time left. It's only because I had a hard life that I look so old. So Shagas Aryeh said, I too had a hard life. I had a lot of difficulties. And I might look, I'm old as 70 years old, but I'm a young 70 at heart. And if you take me as the Rav here in the city of Metz, I'll be a Rav for 20 years or more. Kachaber, it took him as a Rav, he was there till he was nifter in over the age of 90. So let's say over the story with the Shagas Aryeh. So the Medrash brings down that Yaakov lost 33 years of his life because he complained about his bitter life. He should have said to Paroi that he had a bitter life. Because he complained to Paroi for each word that he said, he lost the year of his life. And everyone knows the famous Kasha. If you count the words, Paroi, Yaakov said to Paroi, we're missing. We don't quite have 33. If you count from Yaakov and Paroi, Yemei Shnei Megurai, we don't have 33 words. And the Velt answers that if you have to include Paroi's question also, if you include the previous Pasuk, Vayoyim et Paroi Yaakov, Kama Yemei Shnei Chayecha. If you improve Paroi's question to Yaakov, how old are you? If you include those words, you have exactly 33 words. But the question is, why include Paroi's words? Those weren't the words of Yaakov. Why is Yaakov punished for what Paroi said? I think Abraham Shulavit says, because Yaakov let all the tzaris affect him. Yaakov appeared to be old and troubled by his tzaris. Yaakov should have been on a higher level, that the tzaris shouldn't have affected him so much, that Paroi had to ask how old you are. The fact that he looked so old, and so much bizarre, that Paroi, that prompted Paroi to ask, how old are you? For that, Yaakov is also held responsible, and he lost 1 year of his life for each of the words that Paroi said to him. We'll end off with a maisa, say over a story. The Gra traveled around. Sometimes he went into Golos, he traveled around. But he used to travel during the week, and he would come Thursday, he would settle down Thursday in a town for Shabbos. One Thursday, he comes into a certain town, and he finds the shul, and he goes to the shul. And he stays in the shul to learn the whole night. He stays in the shul, he learns the entire night. He doesn't know where his food's coming from. The next morning, after Shachris, everybody leaves. There's an old man sitting in the shul. Suddenly, an old lady comes into the shul, and she walks up to the old man. Turns out the old man is blind. And she says to the old man, here's breakfast. I have breakfast for you. So the old man says to her, in the shul here, I can't see, but I heard last night somebody learning in the shul. It's a voice that I'm not familiar with. There's a guest here in the shul, and I hear he's here now also. He probably doesn't have breakfast to eat. Go and call him over and tell him to come eat breakfast with me. I have enough to share with him. So, she goes to the garage, says to him,
my husband, the man in the corner, wants to invite you for breakfast, go and eat with him in the corner. So Gra didn't want to go because he saw that breakfast wasn't enough for one person, Kavachaimer for two, he didn't want to go. But the old man called him, so he went over. He says to the old man, I'm not hungry, I don't want to eat. So the old man says to him, oh, I know why you don't want to eat, because you're afraid I don't have enough for myself. It's more than enough for me. Don't worry, sit down and eat something. Okay. The Gra sits down and eats, and the old man says to him, I can see that you're a guest, you come from somewhere else, and I'm willing to share my food with you. So the Gra asks the old man, how do you have parnasa? Where does your food come from? So he says, my wife, there's a mill in town. My wife has reshus from the owner. She goes every day and she gathers the psoilus that falls on the floor from the mill. She takes whatever psoilus of the wheat she finds, and she's able to make from it a little bread, a little mezonos, and that's what I have for breakfast, and that's what I'm going to share with you. Then the old man says to the Gra, where are you for Shabbos? The stomach have no for Shabbos. Come to my house for Shabbos and eat with me. Gross saw already what breakfast was like. He's very hesitant. It's not going to be enough. It's a suda that's not my speckless of violence. I don't know for the owner, for the balabos, how can I come? So the omen says to him, don't worry. For Shabbos, we have food, and you're not going to be the only guest in my house. Come for Shabbos. So the Gra asked the omen, where do you have food for Shabbos from? He says, oh, my wife goes every Thursday to the butcher, and she plucks the feathers off of the chickens. Yesterday, she shecked the chickens, she plucks off the feathers. And for plucking off the feathers, they let her take the legs, they let her take part of the chickens home, and she manages every week to pluck off enough chickens, the feathers, and she has enough chickens for Shabbos. And come to my house for Shabbos. The Gra comes there, well, Shabbos, and he wasn't the only guest. There were other people sitting by the table, Aniyim, Tamidei Chachamim, and he was very elevated by the Suda. His Miris and the Beit Torah was very elevated by the Suda. He comes back the next day, and whatever they had what was enough. The Gra said over afterwards that his whole life, he never met somebody who had such menuchas and nefesh, and was sameach b'chelko, like that old man and his wife. And he said his whole life, he strived to reach that level of menuchas and nefesh, and sameach b'chelko, like that zokein, like that old man have. We go through life. As we go through life, we all face different situations. Sometimes we have an assign in one way, we have an assign in a different way. We all have the nesiyonos. Sometimes they come from both sides at the same time. Sometimes it's quiet. We all have the nesiyonos. But it depends how we react to it. What the reaction to the nesiyon is. The nesiyon is here for us to grow from, for us to make ourselves better. What's our reaction to the nesiyon? Is the reaction going to be a reaction of tsar, or a reaction of daigo yiyush, or is the reaction going to be samech b'chelkoi, a reaction going to be of menuchas hanefesh? How does a person react? It all depends how a person reacts. A person has to prepare himself beforehand. What will be when an assignment comes? How do I react that I don't lose myself? I don't cave in. When we learn Gemara's, we learn a person has to ask himself, what would I do in that situation? But we must always say, when a person learns Agadata, you learn a story in the Gemara, you have to ask yourself, what would I have done? If I would be in that situation, Rav Nachman was in Abaye, what would I have done? How would I reacted in that situation? A person has to prepare himself in advance. A person who prepares himself in advance is able to have menuchas and nefesh in all circumstances. So we should not go be zaycha, and we should have menuchas and nefesh, and whatever tzar anybody has, we should have yeshuas, kafuas, we should all be zaycha, menuchas and nefesh, and together we should all be zaycha, the same shechta came here in May. Amen.